listen to the word.
Soul today, and you got things settled in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's 11:15, and yes, I do know the Vols baseball team plays at 1 o'clock. Amen. I perhaps might have been told a dozen times today. I plan on watching it too, so we'll get done and get out of here. You may have to go through a drive-thru. You may not be able to go sit down anywhere and eat, but we'll get you in time to watch it. Stand with me. We're in Proverbs chapter number 4, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Our Father, we're thankful for today, and what a privilege it is just to be back in your house today. God, it's exciting. We come in and see all these that have graduated, and they're taking the step to the next level in their lives. And we pray, God, that as we grow mentally and physically, that we'll also grow spiritually. God, that we'll build and develop that relationship with you. Forgive me of my sins, God, and cleanse me all of my unrighteousness today. I want to glorify you. I want you to speak to us, speak through me, and speak to all of us. Speak to me the words you have for us to hear as we examine Proverbs and we examine the importance of wisdom, God, how important it is in our lives, and we must seek it as silver and gold. I pray you bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. We got three different speeches that we have in chapter number 4. I think we got the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. We've already gone through the first 4 of the Father to the Son. We don't have a poem or a speech from Lady Wisdom to the person today, but we have three separate speeches from Father to Son. And the first speech that's contained in the first 9 verses, I'm going to tell you something. While I was studying these verses, and I know it's a speech from a father to a son, and it's instruction that the father is giving to the son, that he needs to heed this, he needs to obey this, yet it hammered me as a father. It nailed me between the eyes as to the expectations that God has for my life, and what God not only expects out of me, what God demands out of me, what he commands to me, and expects me to do. These are commands from God. Let's look at the first 3 verses. Hear ye children the instruction of the Father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. And notice what he says in the next verse. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. This is Solomon. King Solomon, who is the son of King David. Note what's going on here. Solomon is talking to his children. He's talking to his sons. And he's saying, boys, I was the son of my father, King David. And he spoke these words to me. So as I read these and I thought about the importance of the words that are being said, I'm reminded that these truths and these words need to pass from generation to generation. They need to be handed down. It is vital, it is important for us to make sure our kids learn about Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's not just important that we send them to church. Church is where we need to be. Bible school is where we need to be. Sunday school, Wednesday night, youth trips. We need to be a part of those things to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. The requirement falls on you parents, yeah, on us parents and grandparents. Somebody say, well, I don't have kids. Well, then all the kids around you, God expects you to be an influence, a godly influence on their lives. In Psalm 78 and verse 6, it says that the generation to come might know them. Talk about the laws of God. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. It's about us giving our kids to God. It's about us deciding within our hearts that I want my kids to know the Lord. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure they hear about Jesus. Amen. Hannah gave her child, Samuel, to the Lord, and he lived at the house of God. Not all of us can live here. You know, there's not enough room if all of us decide we're going to move in to the church and live in the church. But it's not so much that is the importance of what we're trying to stress here. The importance is being under the gospel, being under the Word of God. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to keep the Word of God alive. Now, I know I don't want to confuse you in what I'm saying. It's not that we have the power to keep it alive. The Word is alive because the Word is Jesus. But we have the ability to bring it to life within our children and within our families and within our homes. Amen. I mean, it nailed me because I'm thinking, it's not the church's responsibility or the school's responsibility to teach my children, to educate my children. Yeah, they need to know how to read and write. Yeah, they need to be prepared for a career in life. And yeah, we need to hear the stories from the Bible. But God expects us parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, whoever has an influence in these young lives, we are accountable to God. We're going to look at that in a minute too. And I thought about my boys. I got two boys. You know, they're grown. They're married. I already have one grandchild, another one on the way. And so we're empty nesters. You know what I can't do? I'm going to tell you what I can't do. I can't go back and change how I raised my sons. Much as I want to sometimes. Because nobody's perfect. We all make plenty of mistakes. I failed a lot of times, you know, as a parent. But I can't go back and change those things. We kind of wish we could, don't we? Don't we wish we could? Maybe we react. Maybe you reacted out of anger sometime. Maybe we said something we shouldn't have said. Maybe we did something in our life or were a particular influence that our kids saw, and maybe they picked up a bad habit from us. I don't know. The list can go on and on. But I'm thinking, I can't go back and change those things. I had my opportunity to raise my sons. And this question literally stopped me in my tracks. And I want you to think about this, parents, grandparents, anybody that has an influence in a life around them. Do your kids now, if they're grown, or will they when they are grown, thank you for how you raise them? Whew. Will they? Are we making it a point? Now listen, I know there's a lot of fun things to do out here. I know we can. God wants us to enjoy life. It's not 7 hours of Bible study every day. I know that. And God doesn't expect that. Here's what God expects. God expects us to live before our children as godly of a life as we possibly can. Nothing wrong with enjoying life. Nothing wrong with going on vacations and enjoying a ball game. Or there's nothing wrong with just enjoying the life God has given us. But within everything we do, are they seeing us as they need to see Jesus in that situation? Are they seeing Jesus? Well, I thought about Hannah taking Samuel and giving him to God and saying, God, I'm entrusting him to you. Thank you for blessing me with a child and letting me have this male child, and it's such a blessing to me. Now I'm going to give him to you, and I want him to be influenced by God, especially in these early years. And look what God did with Samuel. Look what a blessing he was. Joash was in the house of God for the first 7 years of his life. I know he still made some wrong decisions as he became an adult. But look at what an opportunity he had and the influence that he was under. Are we teaching our children about Jesus Christ? Do they know who he is? And here's the thing. If Jesus is important to you, then he's going to become important to your kids.
Amen. That's right.
That's where we're at. That's the question that we've got to answer. Are your kids going to thank you? You know, I'm not going to ask them because I don't know what they would say, but I would like to think my sons would say, Mom, Dad, I know you guys are not perfect, but thank you for teaching us about Jesus. Thank you for giving us that opportunity to get saved, you know, and then I feel like I've won the lottery. I feel like I've won the gold medal if that's how they feel. So I don't have anything I can do to change what's happened with them. But I got a grandbaby now. I've got another one on the way. I'm going to have a lot more, right, Destiny? We're going to have a bunch more later on. Later on. So I have an opportunity with them. You have an opportunity to influence lives that are around you. Would they, when we're standing before God, will they thank you for the influence you had in their lives? Wow, that's big. That's big. All right, let's look on to verses 4 and 5. Here's what he says, and this brings up the accountability of it. He said, he taught me also. remember, Solomon's talking about his father David. He taught me also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline decline from the words of my mouth. So David is instructing Solomon. He's saying, don't forget these things. Because I'm accountable to God for you. Then Solomon's saying, I'm telling you, my sons, these things, because I too am accountable to God. Deuteronomy 6:7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. He's teaching us the accountability that we have. We are responsible. I'm not responsible for the choices my children and grandchildren make, but I am responsible for how I influence the decisions and choices that my children and grandchildren make. I'm accountable to God for that. I got to answer to Him. I'm going to have to answer to Him for what I've done. I have to answer to God as pastor of this church in how I influence you and how I encourage you and what I teach and what I share with you. The instruction as a pastor that I give, I've got to answer to God for that. I don't want to think that I'm saying something or doing something or acting a certain way because of a check or because of something I'm going to get from you. I want to think that what I'm doing to honor God. I'm not perfect and I'm far from it, but I want to know in my heart every decision that I make that I'm doing it based on this is the best I have and the best I know how to do, and this is the direction I feel God's leading us in. I want to answer to Him when He asked me that question. God, I did the best that I could in the situation that I was in, because I'm responsible to God. That's why I don't let a lot of people preach. I let these guys preach. Yeah, we preach. You know, they come and preach. But listen, some people call me pulpit hog. I've gone by that label for many years, and I love it. I love that being called a pulpit hog. Why are you pulpit hog? Why don't you let some of these young guys come in? Here's where I'm at, and I am thankful to all the men when I was young in the ministry that allowed me opportunities to preach. But now, that's back in the day when you had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals 3 or 4 a year. I mean, there's ample time for people to be able to preach. We have Sunday morning, we have Wednesday night. I feel responsible. I feel accountable to God and responsible to be here if I'm able to stand and declare what God tells me to declare, what I study and what I prepare for, that He wants to be shared this morning. Is it because I'm pulpit hog? Maybe. But it's another reason, because I feel very responsible for what is taught and preached within this church, because I got to answer to God for that. You in your homes, listen, you got to answer to God for what you allow to come in your home. We can't control everything that people within our family say or do, but we can affect the areas that we're in charge of. So you and I have to make those choices. You may not be your kid's biggest fan when they're young. As a matter of fact, if a 16-year-old kid thinks their parents are wonderful, probably something ain't right. See, amen? You get those licenses, and you're driving and you're independent. Mom and dad should not be cool. Or something ain't right. I think I'm cool again, right, John David? Am I cool again? I'm cool again, yeah. So, you know, several years later, you get to, dads and moms, you get to be cool again later. Be a mom. Be a dad. Be who it is that you need to be, because we're accountable to God, and let Him see Jesus in you. Yeah, because here's the thing about it, and I've seen this. I've seen this, and it breaks my heart. I've seen this. It's not our position, parents, to be our child's friend. Amen. It's our job to be their parent and their guide and their instructor. The friend thing comes now. I'm a friend to my boys. It's different. You know what I mean? You raise them. You teach them about Jesus. And God's going to give you those opportunities to be a great friend to your kids as they grow up. Because here's the fear, before we go on to the second speech number six. Here's the fear: if we don't instruct our kids in the proper way, here's what's going to happen. Judges 2:10, I've read this before, but it's so fitting. Also, all the generation that were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. I don't want to be a part of raising a generation that don't know Jesus. I don't want to be a part of a generation that wants to be cool or wants to fit in and be a part of the social scene and exclude God from our lives. I don't want to be one that says, well, yeah, we need Jesus, but we'll just use this much Jesus and let's just spend the rest of this time on me and what I want and what I think. Now, listen, I want to be those that teach Jesus to people and let them understand. He is our only hope. He's not one of many hopes. He is the only hope that we have in this world is Jesus Christ. Now, speech number six, Proverbs 4:10. He said here, the word here has a double meaning here. It means to listen and to publish. So he's saying the word hear, and as he instructs his kids, he's saying, boys, hear. So he's saying, listen to what I'm saying, but also publish what I'm saying. Share with those around you what I'm saying to you. So hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. Confusing word. He said, as you go, your steps are not going to be straightened. We would think the word straightened would mean a good thing. I want my road to be straightened and not curvy. But what he means by this word is cramped, contained, limited, difficult, distressed, or stressful. All those words come into place. I don't want your path to be that way, to be cramped. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So what we get in the sixth speech is this. We've been instructed in the words of truth. We've been told what it means to be wise. So now we're confronted with the fact that we're going to have to make some decisions. That now it's up to you and I. We're going to have to apply what we know to be true. We're going to have to apply the wisdom that we have. The wisdom you grew up learning about. When you learned about Christ and you got saved, you believed in him. Are you applying those truths and that wisdom in your life? Or are we just thankful and glad that we're saved and not really worried about anybody else? Do I care that anybody else around me learns about Jesus? That's the question. So we've got to apply these truths. And just as Solomon said, I heard this from my father, King David. Now I'm passing on to you. I want this to continue from generation to generation to generation. I want this wisdom, this truth, this knowledge, this relationship to God to be something that you get a hold of and you love it. I want you to apply it the way I have. So the wisdom you've learned, what are you doing with it? Do we just come to church on Sunday, perhaps Wednesday night? Do we maybe read a devotional or listen to a Christian channel or something? Are we really applying biblical truths and principles to our lives? Are we living like Jesus wants us to live? Because listen, we know this. We know you can fool me because I'm easily fooled. But we'll never fool God. Amen. He knows your heart. He knows who you are on the inside. He knows the intent of your heart. He knows if we give a check for something and we want everybody around to see it so we can be patted on the back. He knows if we're community-minded or charity-minded, if we do things publicly or around others so that we can be bragged on. He knows the intent of our heart. He knows if you're doing what you do because you love the Lord or you love praise of people. Are we applying biblical principles and truths to our life? Then Proverbs 4:13 begins, says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. I love that. He said, hey, wisdom, it's your whole life. It's everything. If we're not seeking after wisdom, then guess what we are seeking after? Not wisdom. If we're not seeking after godly wisdom, we're seeking after worldly wisdom. We're seeking wisdom in one fashion or the other. What are you seeking? Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, but turn from it and pass away is what he's saying. He's letting us know how critical the choices that we make are. The choices you make and I make today directly affect our life tomorrow. So we got to consider, what are we doing today? What are the decisions I'm making? Am I really applying wisdom to my life? Because I am going to be affected by it. We can't continue to put off, because one day, guess what's going to happen? It's going to catch up with us. We can't continue to put stuff off. We got to choose today to make decisions to glorify God and apply wisdom to our lives so that tomorrow will be a better day for us. Here's the issue, and I've got it from Psalm 1:1. We've looked at it numerous times. For those that have already heard me preach about it, I apologize. But blessed is the man that, keep note of what three things happen here, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth in the way of sinners, that sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If we're not seeking wisdom, what's going to happen to us is there begins a progression away from God. Note this, you're never in a place in your relationship with God where you're just at a level and you stay there. Anybody tells you that, that's not true. It's not biblical. There's no way. Why? Because your relationships constantly change. Your thoughts constantly change. Your circumstances constantly change. What you learn and your environment constantly changes. So we are moment by moment affected by everything that surrounds us. Our relationships with people then are constantly changing. Just because my wife and I are married and we pronounce those vows to each other, you know, years ago, it doesn't mean that everything is just going to be the same. Why? Because we grow, we get older, we learn new things, we adapt to certain things. So the environment changes, our home changes, we have kids, it brings a whole new element into the marriage and into the life. So all these things are happening. Our relationship with Christ is much like that. It's always changing. We're never at a level spot and we say, okay, I've got it. I'm putting it on cruise control until I go to heaven. That don't happen. You're doing one of two things in your relationship to Christ. You're either getting closer to Him or you're getting farther apart from Him. One of those two. All the time. Right now, you're either getting closer to Him or you're getting farther away from Him. I hope that we're all getting closer because we're here, trying to get closer. So you're getting closer to God. Then don't let tomorrow be a day that we get farther apart, separated from God. Because what happens is this, if we leave it unattended too long, this progression in Psalm 1:1 happens. We start to walk with the ungodly. Then He says, we're going to go over here and we're going to take a seat with the ungodly. We're going to sit down, and not only are we going to be walking and listening to ungodly counsel, but we're going to take up a seat and sit around a campfire with them and talk about it. Then He says we're going to stand in the way of sinners. And I'm going to tell you, that's a scary one right there. You know what happens? If we let things go too far, we begin to stand in opposition of godliness. Not only are we walking and hearing things we shouldn't hear, then we begin to sit and listen and get involved in things we shouldn't get involved in. Now we're standing against godliness. And how terrifying is that? Progression of sin if we don't get it treated, because there's an importance to wisdom and we must make sure we're growing in the Lord rather than getting farther away from Him. All right, this last speech, the seventh one we're going to look at, the key to this entire speech is Psalm 4:22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What's He saying here? He's saying all these things that we're going to look at, that we have looked at, all this thing about wisdom that we're looking over these several weeks, He's saying it literally affects your entire being. Encompasses everything about who you are. Then He goes to break down several parts of the body and identifies how important it is about eyes, ears, feet. So we're going to read through these quickly, but just make a mental note of these and go back and revisit this later when you can spend more time studying about it. The importance of these parts of our life. Ears, Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Make sure what we're hearing, if we have control over what we're hearing, is coming from God. Get as much of God in you as you can. Listen to the Word of God. hear what God is saying when the Spirit speaks to us. It's not just putting the radio on a Christian station as much as listening to the Spirit of God as He speaks to you. That's the key. That's what's important. It's not being influenced by the world, but being influenced by the Spirit of God. Listen, you and I know if God's speaking to us or not. Nobody's got to tell me. Oh, hey, David, by the way, God's going to call you at 3:30 this afternoon. You better check in and see what's going on. That don't got to happen. Why? When God speaks to me, I know it is. You think when you're in trouble and you're a kid at home, you don't know mama's voice, daddy's voice? Nobody's got to tell me. When I hear, I know what my dad's shoes sounded like coming down the hall. Amen. Amen? Listen to the Spirit of God. Eyes, Proverbs 4:21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And verse 25, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. He's saying put spiritual blinders on so we're not seeing what's going on around here. Don't look at the waves, Peter, that have been boisterous already. Before you got out of the boat, they were already boisterous. Don't look at them now. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Eyes on the prize, and the prize is Jesus. Heart, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let your heart be given to God. Love Him more than you love anybody or anything else. Love God and let Him be number one. Mouth, Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, or a perverse or perverted mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. Make sure what we're speaking is truth. Make sure that when we especially give an account, make sure we're honest and we have integrity in what we're saying. When we have an opportunity to share with somebody, share truth. Share with them the Word of God. There are people that ask a lot of questions about the Bible and things, and I've had numerous questions. I would be shocked if there was a new question I've not been asked after being in ministry this long. And I love all of them. But if I don't know the answer, I'm just going to say, hey, I don't know the answer, but we'll see if we can find the answer. Don't think you've got to be all high and mighty and know everything, because guess what? Spoiler alert. You don't. I don't. I don't need to act like I do. Share in truth the things I do know, but be quick to know we got God in heaven that can tell us exactly the answer to that. Make sure what we're speaking is honorable. And the last one is feet, verse 26, 27. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Make sure we're walking the path that God has for us to walk. Make sure we're going the places that God wants us to go. I'll never forget coming here. You know, I'm not going to take time to tell the story, but how I became pastor here, it was a matter of choices in life. God emphatically just said, this is where I want you to be. But I had other things in my mind that I was considering. Well, maybe I could do this, maybe we could do this. But God said, go to Richardson's Cove, and this is where I want you to be. And so life is filled with choices like that. Make sure that we're walking the path that God has established for us. And listen, not the path that we want for ourselves, or greater, not the path that everybody else, listen, young people, not the path that everybody else in our life expects us to walk. Amen. I mean, that can be a heavy burden for a kid. Mom and dad want to relive the glory days through their children. That can be terrible for a child if it's not the path God has for. Make sure, in a nutshell, and the bottom line, is honoring God in everything we do. And don't let the Word of God become silent with this generation, but continue to tell people about Jesus. Stand with us as we begin our invitation. Father, we come to you today. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that it is alive. It is rich, and it thrives here. But God, we don't want it to ever be silenced. We want to speak and live the Word of God. We pray today we have courage to do so. Thank you for salvation, how wonderful it is, how great it is to know that I'm bought by that precious blood. All of us in the house today that are saved, God, we are thankful for that and praise you for that. If there's anyone here that's not been saved, though, God, we pray today that conviction would hit that heart. That today would be the day of salvation for them. Stir hearts, speak to us, challenge us, convict us as only you can. Bring us to this altar to get things right with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.